Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace always upon you from God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were with us last Sunday, you recall that the assigned gospel reading was the start of Luke's account of Jesus' well-known, familiar sermon on the plain. This is a sermon that he gave to his disciples, as Luke puts it, on a level place. That's why most scholars call it the Sermon on the Plain. And this sermon was about how his disciples and his followers are to live the kingdom life. They're not to live and to carry on according to the standards or the ways of the world, but according to the ways and the standards of God's kingdom, where those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are hated and excluded because of Jesus' name, they are blessed, or as I like to translate that word, makarios, they are fortunate. Why would those who are poor, hungry, and hated and excluded be fortunate? Well, as I talked about last Sunday, because they have nothing but God to trust and depend on as their provider, as their protector. So Jesus said they are to rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Again, last Sunday, you also heard, on the other hand, how Jesus issued a very strong warning to those who are rich, to those who are well-fed, and those who are laughing and having a good time, and to those who are popular and well-respected now, for that's as good as it gets for them, especially when their wealth, when their riches, and their reputations become their gods. Well, as you heard in today's gospel text, we continue with Jesus' sermon on the plain with even more bizarre, even more difficult teachings of Jesus, instructing his disciples and his followers to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, and to pray for those who mistreat you. I don't know about y'all, but at first glance, reading what Jesus instructed his disciples to do, all I could think is, really, Jesus? That's how we're supposed to live? Do you not know the world we live in? After all, this is not how the world is today. In fact, let's have a little fun. Would you complete these sentences? Revenge is sweet. Oh, absolutely. See, y'all know it because you've done it. Revenge is sweet. Also, revenge is a dish best served cold. In other words, when they least expect it, it's even better, it's even sweeter. How about this one? Do unto others. Now, y'all quoted the golden rules there. That's not how the world operates today. Do unto others what they've done to you. That is how the world works today. How about this one? Don't get mad, get even. We all know that one. We teach that to our youngins. We all been taught that. Don't get mad, get even. I mean, we all know that there is nothing sweeter than getting even with someone who's wronged us. Oh, how sweet it is to finally give that bully a taste of her medicine. We all know how wonderful and how satisfying it feels when we lay on the horn and make certain hand gesture to that jerk who just caught us off on the loop and then caught us off again on Navarro, all coming on our way to church this morning. We all know how sweet that is. How satisfying it feels. Man, it doesn't get any sweeter, it doesn't get any satisfying, and it doesn't get any justified than that. In fact, I dare say that revenge is so common in our society today that many of us think it's a constitutional right. Someone disrespects you, well, you disrespect them right back and harder. It's only fair, right? That's at least what we've been told and taught. Alas, as Jesus, as usual, Jesus turns our ideas of fairness on its head, or perhaps right side up. See, Jesus strongly urges us to get even in a way that human mind would have never thought of. And that is, get even with love. Now, in today's culture, in our mindset today, hearing Jesus teach and talk this way, we can easily consider him as being out of touch. Being out of touch with our modern ways of living. But the truth is, Jesus knew that his disciples, his followers, were living in a society where an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth, according to Leviticus chapter 24, that was the appropriate way to react to personal conflicts. And Jesus knew that. But not for his disciples. Jesus has a very different method and strategy for dealing with personal conflict. Listen again to the gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "But to you who are listening, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone takes your coat, do not stop him from taking your shirt as well." Beloved, it's clear. It's clear what Jesus' method and strategy for how we're to live is. According to Jesus, we're to return love for hate. We're to return blessings for curses. We're to return prayers for mistreatment. And if someone takes our properties, we're to let them have it. So there it is. That's what Jesus expects of us, of you, fellow believers, followers and disciples of the risen Christ. How are we doing on these as disciples? How are you doing on these as Christians? I can tell you that it is hard to do. That's why we tend to be skeptical. We tend to think that Jesus can't really be serious about loving our enemies and doing good to those who hate us. He can't really be serious. I mean, really, Jesus? That's what we're supposed to do? You see, we can't take Jesus seriously with this, because if we did, this kind of methodology, this kind of strategy will allow and will advocate lawlessness and chaos. That's our fear. By freeing perpetrators to do whatever they want without fear of retaliation or retribution, we are inviting lawlessness and confusion in our world. Now, please listen to me. It is as important to understand what Jesus is not saying as what he is saying. First, Jesus is not saying that we cannot speak up in our own defense when we are wronged, because we can and we should. Jesus himself demonstrated this in John chapter 18 when he was before one of the temple leaders, Annas, and one of the temple guards hit him in the face. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, if I had said something wrong, tell me what that is. But if I said what is right, why did you hit me?" You see, Jesus does not prohibit us from speaking in our own defense. Second, Jesus is not saying that we cannot defend ourselves or our loved ones from harm. We can, and we should. In fact, the fifth commandment, remember, thou shalt not murder? The fifth commandment teaches us that we are not to hurt or harm our neighbors, but we're to help and support them in their physical needs. So what Jesus is saying and what he's preaching to all who'd listen and what he's teaching us all is that seeking personal vengeance is a sin. Let me say that again. Seeking personal vengeance is a sin. Why? Because that's God's job, not yours, not mine. That's God's job. According to Deuteronomy 32, 35th verse, God declared that vengeance is mine and I will repay. Therefore, to seek vengeance on others is to play God, is to claim to be God. It's to take that which God says is his. And if you recall the whole story in the book of Genesis, that's how the whole world got in the mess that we're in, as Adam and Eve sought to be God. We are sinful and rebellious people, sinful and rebellious against God. So what are we to do with our enemies, with those who hate us, those who do us wrong? Well, Jesus' instruction, his method and strategy is clear. Love them. Love them as you have been loved by God through his son, Jesus. You see, this kind of love is impossible for us. Unless it's been given to us first. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In other words, because of our state of sinfulness, which by definition means we are enemies of God, God has every right to exact his wrath and vengeance toward us. in thought, in word, and in deed, we've treated God as our enemy. How? Well, we despise his word. We refuse his love. We curse his name. We rob him of his possessions and incessantly ask him for more. We surely deserve God's wrath and vengeance as his enemy. But how did God get even with us? He sent his son to die and to save us. He allowed us, he allowed our humanity to do our very worst to his son. Curse him, slap him, whip him, spit on him, parade him around Jerusalem like a piece of meat, stripped him naked, and nailed him to a tree on a cross. We certainly deserve God's vengeance and retribution. But how did Jesus respond to all that we have done to him? He said, "Father, forgive them." Friends, if you've ever wondered how God should have gotten even with you, I encourage you to look to the cross. Look to the cross. This is what we deserve as enemies of God, as sinful, rebellious people against the Almighty. This is what we deserve. But because Jesus chose to hang on that tree in our stead, God got even with us with his love. So when the question pops up in your mind, why should I love my enemies? Why should I do good to those who hate me? Well, it's because God loves them, and so ought we. The way the world is, the way the world works today is that we're to do good to those who are good to us, and we're to visit evil on those who are not good to us, our enemies. But Jesus says, that's not how it's going to be for my disciples. That is not how the followers of Jesus is to live. If you want to get even with your enemy, you're going to have to break all the rules of society. You're going to be different. You're going to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and lend to those who needs lending, but not expect to have them pay it back. See, this marks you as a child of the Most High God, a God who is kind, gracious, and merciful, both to the ungrateful and to the wicked, as well as to those who are righteous. But the sinful nature in our being keeps kicking up concerns, doesn't it, about all this, about Jesus' teaching. Questions come to our minds saying, if I love and bless and pray for my enemies, if I turn the other cheek and give away my property, who is going to watch out for me and for my well-being? How do I know I will have enough to survive on and to provide for my family if I give it all away? How can I be sure that evildoers will be punished if I don't see it to myself? How can I let myself be taken advantage of like that? Well, friends, the answer to these concerns, and they are as my concern as it is yours, the answer to these concerns is always the same throughout Scripture. Trust God's promises. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus promises that God will care for you more than he cares for anything else. The birds of the air God feeds and cares for. Are you not more important than the birds of the air? And of course, we ask, well, what about justice? What about fairness? If I don't retaliate, the world is going to walk all over me. Well, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 tells us that we are not to take revenge, but we're to leave room for God, for God's wrath. See, if vengeance is called for, if vengeance is required, God will take care of it. He will take care of it, if not in this life, certainly on Judgment Day. One way or the other, if vengeance is required and called for, they will get their comeuppance. By God, not by you, not by us. Yes, our morally and ethically corrupt world is destroying itself over its thirsts for vengeance. It seems that everywhere you turn, someone is trying to get even with someone else for something that was done or said to them. Sometimes over things that was done or said a decade ago or centuries ago. All in the name of justice. That is the way of the world. That is not the way of Jesus' disciples. We are to be different because through faith in Jesus, as dearly beloved children of the Most High God, we are different. And because we're different, we get even with our enemies the same way God got even with us, with love. So yes, don't get mad, get even with love. It's tough, but those are the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand.